This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
We'll call to order the Committee on the Senate State Affairs. And at this time, I'd like to greet the internet listeners that are joining us, as well as the guests that have chosen to appear. And at this time, I would like the pages to introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about your current endeavors and what your future might bring.
This is on. My name is Riley Homenberg. I go to Beersford High School. I plan to attend college somewhere, not sure where yet, and double major in women's studies and Spanish.
My name is Alexandra Hansen. I go to school in Hardin County, and the ultimate plan for me is to teach English as a second language.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to remind folks to turn their cell phones off. Any violations, the violator will provide beef jerky for the next committee meeting. At this time, we'd have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Hunhoff.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Pauline. Auten.
Here.
Soho.
Here.
Teason.
Here.
Solano.
Here.
Command.
Here.
Pauline's here.
There's a quorum.
We have a quorum. At this time, I would accept a motion for approval of the minutes. Moved by Senator Brown, seconded by Senator Holeen. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
I would remind testifiers to sign in at the back of the room. Be sure and sign in legibly. And lobbyists, if you would, make sure you're wearing your badges. And all handouts will be distributed by the pages. And any questions that come before the committee will be addressed through the chair. Are there any changes to today's agenda? If there are none, we will go on to the consideration of bills. The first bill that we're going to consider is Senate Bill 73. It's clarification of certain provisions regarding open meetings. Are there any proponents who would like to speak?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Senator Corey Brown. I represent District 23. I think what you have before you today in Senate Bill 73 is kind of a great example of the way things work here in this state. As a lot of you will recall in this committee, there was a concept last year that was brought before us that essentially said, you know, if we're going to have public bodies that are conducting business, if they're going to do so over email or electronic means, that needs to have the same kind of transparency and scrutiny as we would require in other types of settings. Unfortunately, I think the way the bill was drafted last year was really a pretty wide net, and it also kind of came at it from the wrong angle, kind of looking at it from the back end. So a commitment that I had over the summer was to work with the newspaper association to see if we could not find a way to draft the bill in a way that made sense, it accomplished what the goal was, and ultimately led to greater transparency. And so what you have before you today is Senate Bill 73. And in essence, I think after we all took a step back and looked at what it was we were trying to accomplish it, sometimes the easiest way to do that is just to say exactly what it is you're trying to do. And in Senate Bill 73, essentially what we say is that, look, whenever you have a quorum of a public body, if you're going to have discussions about policy, if you're going to conduct business over email, over internet, or other electronic means, then that requires the same kind of transparency as we would require out of a teleconference or any other measure. Pretty straightforward, a couple of lines that amend our open meeting statutes. Certainly, I think I'm much more comfortable with this approach than I was the way we were looking at it last year. And ultimately, I think it gets to the goal that we were all shooting for. So I would encourage your support of 73, and I will stand by for further questions. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. We want to thank Senator Cory Brown and others who did work with us patiently over this past year following last year's legislation, and really appreciate their commitment and Senator Brown's commitment to helping us with this bill. We really did go back to the drawing board on this, and I think we've come back with a cleaner, simpler version that I'm hoping that will pass the test here and have you comfortable with what we're trying to do with amending the open meetings law here. I should point out the origins for this concept, for this idea, goes back to the Open Government Task Force that was convened by the Attorney General Marty Jackley and Governor Dugard in 2012. The bill that came out of there was the one you saw last year that stopped here. But that's where this all came from, was that Open Government Task Force, which involved lots of individuals from local government, state government, law enforcement, the media, and the public who worked on that. As I said, this is a cleaner, simpler bill. It does two things. In Section 1, it puts into statute a definition of what is a public meeting in South Dakota. And basically, we're codifying an attorney general's opinion from 1985 when Attorney General Roger Tellinghuysen wrote that, look, if you have a legal quorum of a board present and they're discussing official business related to that board, then that should be an open meeting. And that's sort of the premise that we've worked under all these years, but now we're putting that into statute. And I think that's a good thing, a good clarification to have. And then the second thing we do is at the end of the bill, Section 2, where we expand the definition of what is a teleconference to include other electronic mediums, including the Internet. Teleconference was added to the open meetings law first in the 1980s when conference calls via telephone sort of became a realization that, look, we can get several people on the phone. Let's make some sense, for particularly at the state board level. And so amendment was made to the open meetings law in the 1980s to allow for a phone conference public meeting to be held. And then early 1990s, the state video network came along, the DDN, some of you may recall. And so we added language for a video medium to be included for teleconference purposes. And now today, with what we've done here in expanding the definition of teleconference, is to include the Internet, because obviously there are technologies that are through Internet-based that are for communication, including email, Skype, and technologies we don't even know about yet to come down the road. So I think it's a good thing. What this bill doesn't do is it does not create a public record for email or for text messaging, as we did last year. We do not go after that and by trying to sweep that into this bill, and that's out of it. But what it does do in this bill is it creates some guidelines and some guardrails for public entities to follow in terms of what is a public meeting, and if we're going to use various technologies to communicate and have meetings, then the open meetings law applies. And I think that's a good thing going forward and will serve us well into the future. You know, in practical terms, you know, could you conduct a meeting via email today under the open meetings law? I mean, probably not, because the open meetings law says you have to post an agenda at least 24 hours in advance. You have to provide for the public to participate and other steps. So in practical terms, an email meeting probably isn't possible, but who knows what the future holds in that regard and what may be possible. And I think that's, for a matter of convenience for public boards, would probably be a good thing down the road. So I think this will serve us well in the future, I would urge you to give it favorable consideration, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the State Affairs Committee. My name is Justin Smith. I'm an attorney from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I am also a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. I rise this morning and want to provide a little more detail on the legal background and issues surrounding Senate Bill 73. As David just got finished telling you, Senate Bill 73 is a concept that does come out of the Open Government Task Force that was convened by Governor Dugard and Attorney General Jackley back in 2011. We've greatly simplified this bill from that first version. Last year's HB 1153 attempted to change the statutes on open records law, as well as, like 73 does, the open meetings law. There were concerns voiced about sweeping searches of cell phones and personal email accounts. In order to address those concerns, we have greatly simplified this bill, stripped out any reference to the open records law, and simplified it greatly into the bill that you have before you. What does Senate Bill 73 actually change? Section 1 incorporates a definition from an Attorney General opinion on what constitutes an open meeting. If a quorum or more of a public body is discussing official business, either in person or by teleconference, that is an open meeting. Under the Attorney General's Office pamphlet that they put out, Conducting the Public's Business in Public, a guide to South Dakota's open meetings law, which they revise and update, it's published by the South Dakota Newspaper Association, they discuss question or email discussions meetings for purposes of the open meetings law. And basically the answer is that courts in some states have held that contemporaneous email communications among a quorum of the governing members of a public body constitute a meeting of the public body when the members discuss the merits of pending issues. And basically all this does is it incorporates what has been the Attorney General's opinion, what has been the understanding of most public boards in South Dakota for years. Section 2 adds electronic discussions to the definition of teleconference. Public boards are today sometimes, there are examples in South Dakota, holding group discussions of official business via email and text message. Senate Bill 73 simply makes it clear that such discussions are subject to the open meetings law. It's intended to set up guardrails for our public boards in South Dakota and help them by clarifying that unless you are going to comply with Chapter 125 on the open meetings, do not hold these discussions via electronic means. It's similar to teleconference, which is currently governed by South Dakota law. We do have boards that, through teleconference, sometimes through video conference, are holding their meetings in that way. And as long as proper notice is given, the agenda is posted, and the public has an opportunity to sit in, monitor, or participate in those discussions, then those are okay and valid under our open meetings law. So we do not intend this to be gotcha legislation or to violate the privacy of local board members and their email accounts, their text messages. It's why we struck those references to the open records law. In effect, this would be, for many purposes, essentially would work as a ban on holding these discussions via email. But if you want to do that, that would still be allowed for the convenience of the local boards. You just have to make sure you comply with all the other provisions of the open meetings laws. I will stand by for questions if you have anything further. Thank you for your time.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members, Marty Jackley, South Dakota Attorney General. The Attorney General is in support of this legislation. It's a good continuation of the discussion we had on the Governor's and Attorney General's task force. It's putting into further law the Attorney General's opinion from 1985, and I think it will help give clarification for the Open Meetings Commission that has to deal with these issues. And lastly, I think I need to make clear, because I know there's been discussion and concerns in the past about law enforcement and the use of these emails, to make it clear on the record that for law enforcement to get to an email or these communications, one of three things would have to happen. There would have to be consent of the individuals involved, or a search warrant signed off by a judge meeting that probable cause standard, or a grand jury subpoena, again, having at least six citizens of our state agree that there's probable cause. And so this would in no manner play into the criminal justice system. It's just simply a good way to clarify the law so that we have open government here in South Dakota. And I will stand by for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, I would ask if there are any opponents. If there are no opponents, I would close it to public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Certainly.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you spoke best to my interest in this. It's just really a good faith attempt, I know, for open government. I'm just wondering how this actually plays out in real life. So if a town board decides they really need to have an email, and this is a lot what we're getting about is emails. If they decide they need to have an email meeting, and they post it and everything, how does the public actually become a part of that email meeting?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for your question, Senator Hunhoff. I actually had the same question from Senator Soholt earlier this morning. That, in effect, is the reason why this would, in practicality, work out to be essentially a prohibition of those kinds of discussions, just because it would be very difficult to open up an email discussion to the entire public. I suppose that there are services such as Gmail has some services they offer where you can have a large group discussion. And I suppose that in your agenda or your notice of the public meeting that you're proposing to hold by email, you could ask for them to call a certain number, you could ask for them to email a certain email address, and inform the board that they would like to be included in the discussion. The problem in practicality is that you get down to a situation where maybe someone did not see the notice, someone still wants to participate, they know the date and the time when it's been scheduled, but they have no way at the last minute to participate in that discussion. So these kinds of discussions are best kept for an open forum opportunity, as we've had for generations in South Dakota. So the practical implications, it would be difficult, still possible, but those could be discussions to be had with, I suppose, the local board.
Thank you. And then let's presume that they went ahead and did that. They opened it up there, and I think the technology probably would be available where they could have a group email round robin, I guess we used to call it in the old days. So let's say they did have the meeting. How does and it's finished, and how does the public then get a record of that meeting?
Mr. Chairman, good question, Senator Hunhoff. They would be required under the open meetings law currently to keep minutes of that meeting. In terms of getting records of the actual emails, that would not fall under this discussion. They would be required to keep the minutes of the normal meeting in the standard fashion. They would not have to provide, I would assume, a transcript of those emails.
And I'm not sure this next question even supports my position on this. I fully support the bill, but it seems like now we're saying that some emails are open to the public. How does this play off? I mean, isn't this what some might call a slippery slope to making all emails open, all government emails open to the public?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hunhoff, I apologize if I gave the impression that I was saying these emails would be open to the public. Our Senate Bill 73 strips out from last year any of the components that relate to the open records. They would be required, if they had a meeting, presumably by email, to keep minutes of the meeting. They would not be required then to keep the email chain as some kind of public record. That is not implicated by this bill.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. Would your preference be, do you think minutes of the meeting are a sufficient record of a meeting?
Mr. Chairman, we would argue that, yes, minutes of the meeting would be sufficient because they currently, under South Dakota law, are sufficient for public meetings of boards. No board is required under South Dakota law to keep a word-for-word transcript of its meetings. We in the Newspaper Association, and Mr. Bordewhite can correct me if I'm wrong, but have no problem with the way the law currently works.
Is there any further discussion and or action? Senator Brown.
I move to pass on Senate Bill 73.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Brown and seconded by Senator Soholt to do pass on Senate Bill 73. Is there any comments?
I would probably follow up that once again, I think, I'm really proud of the way the process works here in South Dakota. I think rather than, just buying off on the first attempt, we've really tried to narrow this down and come up with something that actually achieved the objective. And I think maybe to Senator Hunhoff's comments, part of the key here really is this definition in Section 1, because we're defining that open meeting as a quorum of the board or the governing body, but the key is that they have to be having discussions that relate to the merit of their business or, really revolve around a policy discussion or some type of action that they would be likely to take. And I really think at the end of the day that's kind of key to making all of this work and really a big part of Senate Bill 73, so I'd encourage our support.
Is there any further discussion? Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree. I think this is very surgically structured and does take us another step down the road toward better open government. I agree. It's interesting how this is just a half a step by a half a step, and that maybe that's the way it should be. But at some point, we're going to have to deal with the whole email issue, and that's going to be a fascinating discussion. But I think this is a step forward. Thank you.
Any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, the motion is to pass on Senate Bill 73. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Hunhoff?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Auten?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Nine ayes.
There are nine ayes. The motion passes.
Can it be on consent?
No, probably not. Okay. The Senate bill moves on to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll move on to Senate Bill 91, and that's to revise certain provisions concerning the information on the forms provided to persons who sign initiated constitutional amendments or initiated measures.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Reed Holeen. I am the state senator from District 5, which is Watertown, South Dakota. And I am here to testify in favor of Senate Bill 91. I do have some handouts that I would like some help from the pages to distribute to the committee, including one amendment. So there's the amendment. And then if you could get these three passed out. Senate Bill 91 deals with the initiatives, constitutional measures, and with the amendment, with the indulgence of the chair and the committee. May I speak to the amendment as well as the bill? Thank you. And then it would also deal with referendums. South Dakota has a long history of citizens taking part in their own government. I believe we were the first state ever to have initiatives that could be driven by the population of the state to put something on the ballot and then force a vote on it. And that has worked out very well for the state of South Dakota. However, in recent years, not necessarily in South Dakota, but in some states, California in particular, the idea of initiatives, constitutional measures, and referendums has become a big business. And Senate Bill 91, in my mind, is to protect the intent behind the original idea that the citizens can drive legislature. And what this does is, if you are out circulating a petition for an initiative, a constitutional measure, or with the amendment, a referendum, and you are getting paid, you at least have to just admit that you're getting paid. If someone asks you, you already, when you're circulating a petition, you already have to have a form that you will distribute to people if asked. And this adds to the form if you are a volunteer or if you're getting paid for this. And if you're getting paid, then who is paying you? And the reason why I do this is you'll notice on one of the handouts, it's the handout for the State of South Dakota Campaign Finance Disclosure Statement. And at the top it says the full name of the committee is South Dakotans for Fair Lending. And then you go to the second page there, and you see that they spent $1,735,000, of which $1,553,000 was to pay circulators who are out getting the signatures to put this on the ballot. Now, what's interesting about this is the money for this, it says South Dakotans for Fair Lending, but the money all came from a Georgia company. And to me, I think South Dakotans deserve the right to know who is driving this legislation and why. And especially when there's money behind it, they have a right to know who's
financially interested in this. I want to stress it does not stop anyone from doing it. You can still pay people to go out and get signatures on a petition. It does not stop anyone from bringing anything to the initiative, referendum, or constitutional measures. You can still do it. It just says that if you're going to get paid for it, if money's behind it, people have a right to know. And that's all that this is asking for, and I believe that it's I believe it protects the intent behind a citizen-led government. And with that, I would urge support of the amendment and the bill. And then also, if you notice at the amendment, we have both an amendment and then the title amendment at the bottom. So I will stand by for questions. And I know I want to thank the Secretary of State's office who worked with me for many months to get this legislation crafted. And I would urge your support. Thank you.
For the sake of clarity, should we move the amendment at this time?
So moved. Second.
The amendment 91FA has been moved by Senator Brown, seconded by Senator Auden. And is there discussion on the amendment at this time?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
I think the amendment is kind of a logical next step. Obviously, if we're going to apply this to one type of process, it makes sense that we would do it to the other referral process as well. So I think this is a good addition to the current bill.
Is there further discussion? Senator Hunoff.
I would just ask the question, maybe even of Senator Helene or whoever would want to answer it. I mean, if we're going to go to this trouble for transparency, and I think I like the idea, why wouldn't we also put on there, you know, how much they're being paid for full transparency? I mean, it could be a big difference between whether it's $1 million or a pizza. And it seems we could take it one more step and just do it right here.
I believe that we're past that point, but I guess the Senator Holdeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Hunhoff. Part of that, in just a real quick discussion with the Secretary of State, is already covered in statute. What is interesting is already in South Dakota, you cannot get paid by the signature. Okay. You can't. In some states, you get paid like $1 per signature you collect. Now, South Dakota has long ago prohibited that. I think it was 1911 when they did away with that. But so that only leaves it open to getting paid an hourly wage. And the Secretary of State is saying that that is covered in statute.
So it would be, as we have information here, it would be revealed later and covered by another statute. Is that correct? Okay, great. That'd be fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe we are still on the amendment, so is there any further discussion on the amendment? If there's no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The Senate Bill 91 is amended. We'll move on. Are there any proponents of Senate Bill 91 as amended?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Chantel Krebs, Secretary of State, and let me just give you a little broad review or overview of referendums and initiated measures and initiated constitutional amendments in the state of South Dakota, because I do feel there's going to be some questions. So the good senator from Watertown did clarify that, of course, this is one of the first states in 1898, and we've been a very active and busy and civic-minded state with ballot measures. This year specifically, you have probably noticed in the news that we have so far at this point 10 items or 10 measures that you will be voting on so far on the 2016 ballot. That is 10 ballot measures, meaning that's including 7 initiated measures and 7 initiated constitutional amendments. That's including both. The 3 referrals from the 2015 session, and then there would be the potential for any other referrals coming out of the 2016 session. 2006, there were 11 measures that you voted on, and in 1910, 14, 19, 16, and 1918, there were 11 or 13. So this is going to be a big ballot this year and a lengthy ballot. And the concern is going to be, is it going to be a 2-page ballot? And, of course, that incurs a lot of costs for your auditors to pay for. We also have the 2 challenges that have been presented. And the reason I bring this up, and just thank you for granting me a little latitude, we have also been presented 2 challenges this year. And this may be in response to having more information brought forth, and this is why this bill might be of reason. We have been presented 2 challenges. The only other challenge that has ever been presented that Kia, my deputy of elections, can recall was the smoking ban challenge in 2010. Prior to her 18 years in the office, there was no other petition challenge on a ballot question. However, there are candidate petition challenges that have been presented. So we are now at this time, and we have yet days to be that are still out there and left open that a citizen could challenge my further decisions on other initiated measures that I have approved. That window is still open of that 30-day that's following my rejection or decision to approve a ballot measure. Okay, with that, this language is in Title II, which covers our initiated measures, as well as the initiated constitutional amendment proposal, as well as the referendums. It's adding to the already required form, and if you notice that on page 3 of this bill, it's stating, or in page 2 and 3, because it's 2 different sections, that they already have to provide a form that contains the title and explanation. That's current state statute. So if you sign a measure, you get the little form that says, here's the title and explanation. What Senator Holeen is presenting to you is to also add, of course, in state statute, that we're asking for the name, phone number, email address, and a statement of whether you're paid or not. So that's the new language. Furthermore, the question was, how are circulators paid and how much? In state statute, it says that a circulator cannot be paid per signature, as the senator clarified. They can be paid an hourly rate or a bonus based on volume. So there's not a specific statute that says we need to know exactly how much they're paid. On the back end of the campaign finance reports that are due every February, first of February of every year, specifically for ballot question statements, that expense report would show a consulting fee or salary expenses, but that would be as a whole. So I just wanted to clarify and walk that through. There wouldn't be a specific dollar amount, as Senator Hunhoff was inquiring about. So you, as your legislators here today, could amend that language if you so desired. So with that, we stand in support of this. And I'll give you an example in closing. A lot of ballot measures being presented this year, and over the summer, we had a lot of phone calls into our office saying, I just signed this measure, and I did not want to. How can I get my name off of this? How can I remove my name from the signing of this particular measure? Only the circulator can remove that signature. So our only guidance and ability to say and respond to them was to say, go back to where you signed it, and hopefully that circulator is still at the Walmart or at the post office or wherever you happen to sign it at that fair or event, so that they could pull that sheet and you standing right there could cross your name or put a line through it, which would indicate to us that it would be a signature that would be thrown out because the line would be crossed through. A sponsor cannot cross off a name, only the circulator or the individual themselves. So this would be helpful for the fact that now you have some type of contact in order for us to give them guidance or for that individual that's been signing that or is signing it to follow through on. So with that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll stand by for questions.
Are there any further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Boland, State Representative, District 16, for the southeastern portion of South Dakota Union and the southern portion of Lincoln County. I just will be the House Prime sponsor on this particular bill, and I want to come and voice my support for this bill as amended. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, are there any opponents?
thought he was going to testify against his own bill. If there are no opponents, we will move on to questions from the committee. Senator Hanoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your good explanation. Do you think it would be problematic, and I'm not suggesting we do it in this committee, but do you think it would be problematic if we did add to this form that they would write on there, you know, how much they're being paid?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Hanoff, I don't see where it'd be a problem. I mean, you're specifically asking them to state how they are paid or what they're paid.
Are there any further questions? If there are no further questions, we will close this portion of the meeting to public testimony and move it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
Can we be at ease for a minute?
At this time, we'll come back to order. Is there any further discussion or action?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
I'd like to move an amendment, and if you grant me a little latitude, I'll try to walk through what this looks like, because it gets a little complicated because we've got three different pieces that we're going to amend here. Let me start with the original amendment that Senator Holine proposed, 91 Foxtrot Alpha. If you pull your sheet up there, at the bottom, we added a paragraph on that sheet of paper. So if you go to the second to the last line, after the words or paid petition circulator on the second to last line that we had there, before the period we would add the words and comma if a paid circulator comma the amount the circulator is being paid period. Okay, that would be the first piece. The second place where we would insert that language would be on page 2, line 4 of the bill. It would be the same language after that, or paid petition circulator. We would add the and, comma, if a paid circulator, comma, the amount the circulator is being paid. And I would also insert the same language on page 3, line 3, after paid petition circulator, and, comma, if a paid circulator, comma, the amount the circulator is being paid. So in three different places, we would add that phrase capturing that they'd have to indicate the amount the circulator was being paid.
It's been moved to amend the Senate Bill 91 by Senator Brown, seconded by Senator Sutton. Is there further discussion on that amendment? Senator Sobel.
I was going to say, Senator Mr. Chair, I think Senator Hanoff has identified a good change to this bill, and I think it, you know, given the fact that the Secretary of State's office had a number of questions about this exact specific piece, the fact that we clarify that on the form, I think, only helps to make the bill even better than it was to begin with.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Zwolt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's really just, it's probably a question, you know, where we're at now with this. We have a motion on the table for the amendment? Do we have a motion?
Yeah,
I moved it. Oh, he moved it. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Did we have a second?
Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Just wanted to make sure where I was at in process. Thank you. So, in concept, you know, very supportive. I'm just trying to understand what, okay, so the amount they're being paid, which I like because that's full disclosure moving forward on the front end, that here are the terms of being involved. What would be the process then if there was some additional during the transaction period of getting the signatures? Let's just say the people that were involved then now were doing some bonusing or something. Does this provide then some circle back, or do we just have to do trust, or, you know, if the ante has been upped? I mean, it's just like when we're getting the petition, this is what its the terms are, here's where we're at. And does that just suffice to intent? Or does that bind them in any way to the amount, which wouldn't hurt a thing?
Senator Hunhoff.
Mr. President, it would seem to me that, I mean, that if what they put down there the day they signed that, to the best of their knowledge, that's what they're being paid. So, I mean, it's the best transparency you can get on the day they filled that form out, and I think that's all we're asking. If something changes down the road, I mean, that doesn't affect what they said that day, and if it was honest on that day, then that's good. And it's a better transparency than we would have without it.
Senator Brown.
You know, I would agree. I mean, I think the way I would kind of look at that, obviously there was probably some kind of contract that was signed, and whatever that contract indicated was the amount of reimbursement should be reflected in that statement on the petition deal. So if there was language about bonuses, et cetera, that would probably have to be indicated. But if you look at it just strictly from the standpoint of whatever that contract was that the circulator signed, that's what the legal binding reimbursement would be at that point. And so I would hope that this language would reflect whatever that contract was.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair. I would actually have a question with the Chair's indulgence, a question with the Secretary of State in regard to the amendment. My question would be, I support the amendment. And I know that almost in looking over all the different states, including South Dakota, that do this, almost always the people who are circulating petitions are getting paid an hourly wage. I'm just wondering if you could foresee a scenario where, as a backhanded way of trying to game the process to where you don't want to admit you're getting paid, where you could send people out circulating petitions and then just pay them a bonus at the end instead of a upfront wage. I'm just wondering if that would be a way for some of these companies to game the process.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think that when you think this through, this isn't a prescribed form in rule. So as I was explaining at ease, what they submit to us is something to say, okay, at least we can look to see what they're submitting already or handing out. So right now they currently have to say, I need to at least hand to that circulator or that signer a title and explanation on just any type of paper. They can submit it to us, but we at least can see it and we have it and hold it in the file. It's not an administrative rule of form. So what we envision, as we were just talking, is that has the title and explanation, and then we're also going to say you need to include on there the line that says the sponsor's name, address, and all that you just required. Then have the line that says amount paid blank, volunteer blank, so they could check volunteer, or if their amount paid, hopefully they're going to fill in, and we're going to use the good faith efforts here of that they're going to write that hopefully dollar amount in. Now, we know that those dollar amounts change, that once they need more help, they sometimes up the ante. But hopefully with that blank line, as that circulator has maybe upped the ante in those coming weeks, they hopefully are adding and changing their dollar amount in their blank line so they can fill it in. However, as the question you just asked, if they say and state in the contract nothing up front and it's all bonus at the end, that would be one of those challenges that we wouldn't know. However, I don't know if anybody's going to enter into that sort of agreement. So, when I think through that in the business sense of it, most of these circulators are pretty savvy in wanting that money, on a payment schedule. But, however, that could very well be a scenario that does happen, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, just a discussion on that, because I do believe it would be covered as well, because even if you're going to get paid a bonus at the end, you're still a paid circulator and you're not a volunteer. And that is the intent behind the bill, is just to let people know if you're getting paid or a volunteer. And that would be covered, and I'd be okay with that.
Mr. Chair, any latitude here?
Yes.
I would guess there's going to be some self-monitoring out there as well with other, with just amendments and opposition groups out there too. So thinking through this a little bit. However, those things are going to arise, and then we'll have to address them and take them one by one. And if we have to amend accordingly from there, we'll do so.
Any further discussion on the amendment? There's no further discussion on the amendment. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the amendment passes. Any further discussion on the Senate Bill 91 as amended? If there is none, the chair would entertain a motion for action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move due pass as amended.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Brown. Due pass as amended. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
Well, I'm obviously very biased in favor of this bill, as it's mine, but it really is something that was driven to me. I got a lot of phone calls in Watertown when a lot of these petitions were being circulated. I got a lot of calls from people saying, who's behind this? What's the deal with this? And I'm sure that all of us up here, we get lots of calls when November comes about what is behind this initiative, what's behind this one, you know, and things like that. And I think this just really helps the people who are out there signing it. And I think that it really protects the intent behind what South Dakota always had with its progressive roots. So I would urge your support.
Is there any further discussion? If there is no further discussion, the motion is due pass on Senate Bill 91 as amended. And at this time, the Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor, aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Hunhoff?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Nine ayes.
There are nine ayes. The Senate Bill 91 will go back to the floor on a due pass recommendation as amended. And we need to move a title amendment.
Mr. Chair, move title amendment FTA.
It's been moved by Senator Teason, seconded by Senator Soholt, to move the title amendment 91 FTA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the amendment for the title is so passed. Senator Brown.
I move consent.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Brown, consent, seconded by Senator Soholt. Any further discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the Senate bill 91, as amended, will go on the consent calendar. And Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just an announcement. Since there are so few of us, I have to take every opportunity I can. The School of Mines is in the rotunda today, and they're serving liquid nitrogen-produced ice cream, so grab some after the meeting. Thank you.
Make sure you get the ice cream and not the nitrogen.
That'd be appropriate, yes.
I would. There's no further business. I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. So moved by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Brown. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.